Hello. Thank you for tuning in. You are listening to BiteRadio.me's Bringing Inspiration to Earth show. For network or show information, visit www.biteradio.me or call 843-808-0777. And now, the Bringing Inspiration to Earth show with your host, Robert Sharp. Good day, everyone, and thank you for joining us for this edition of the Bringing Inspiration to Earth show. Today, my very special guest is Rachel Carew. She is author of Stepping Into More, Lessons from a Recovering Perfectionist. Stepping Into More is Rachel's personal journey from fearful perfectionist to confident performer. Despite her personal and professional successes, her continuous quest to be everything to everyone kept some of her deepest loves and passions hidden for more than 20 years. The story is about coming full circle and embracing her lifelong passions and going for it. You can find out more about Rachel by visiting her website, which is raydevelopment.com, and it's R-A-E, development.com. And I do have a direct link to her website in the show page description. So with that, I'd like to welcome Rachel to the show. Hello, Rachel.
Hi, Robert.
I'm happy to have you here. Looking forward to chatting.
Likewise, thank you so much for having me.
It is my pleasure. There's just so much to talk about, and of course the topic of a perfectionist is one that I know several people whom I've spoken to before the show were really interested in finding out more. But let's go ahead and start with the main focus of your book and also a CD, your music CD. And for those of you listening later on in the show, we're going to go ahead and play a clip from Rachel's CD. But both of them focus on stepping into more. So would you mind kind of explaining to the listeners a little bit about what that means to you?
Sure. So my first passion really has been around self-expression, and a big value for me is around self-expression. And one way that I really can bring that to fruition is through song. And I've always loved to sing and perform. And I went to the American Academy of Dramatic Arts when I was 18 years old and didn't get into their second-year program. And at the time, I was a full-fledged perfectionist. And I thought, well, I must suck at this. And I turned my back on performing for over 20 years. I was even the human resources manager at EMI Music Distribution that represented 10 record labels, and no one had a clue that I sang. So all of that changed for me about 8 years ago. A whole series of events occurred, starting with a car accident, and that brought me full circle, not only into performing again, but actually starting to integrate singing into some of my speaking and training engagements. So for me personally,
wow.
Stepping into more has been about reconnecting to what I like to call my performer. And my performer is really my authentic self, my higher self, and letting her shine. But stepping into more can mean a lot of different things for different people, depending on what they might have turned their back on or disconnected from because of either perfectionism or fear or embarrassment, whatever the case may be.
Yeah. Well, you know, one of the things that I have found is that quite often, you know, you mentioned that you had a car accident and it was kind of maybe the catalyst that shifted you into stepping into more. And was that, did you have a feeling of, well, you know, if I'm going to do it, if I'm going to live this life, I better do it now and do it the way I want to? I mean, it's, you know, because it seems like a lot of people have that kind of shift in perspective of life whenever something dramatic like that happens.
Great question. And for me, what was really interesting about the experience is, thankfully, I wasn't seriously injured, but I was having some neck and back pain, and I went to physical therapy. And while I was at physical therapy, I saw a flyer for a workshop called Joy of Singing. And I thought, whoa, what's this? And it turns out that I'm like, hello, there's no coincidence here. It turned out that it was a workshop to face your fears through singing, and I went from having not sung in public for many years to performing in front of hundreds of people. They assigned me a very challenging Stephen Sondheim song, and that was the catalyst, as you put it, that really had me recognize that, you know, this is a part of myself that I've let be dormant for many years. But it was never quiet. I would go to a musical like Les Miserables and I would cry. I just could see myself up there, and it was painful for me. I knew that I have this talent and this longing and desire, but I was too scared. So that was part of my journey and part of the beauty of stepping into more and reconnecting to this part of myself is I recognize that, you know, when I was younger, I was looking for permission to be able to creatively self-express and thought I needed to get that approval in order to do that. And now I'm creating it on my terms, and I get to decide what I want to do, how I want to do it, and I don't need anybody's permission. And that's just been incredibly empowering and freeing.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, I like that. You know, that's, you know, there's, well, first of all, you know, let me go back. You mentioned the drama school and the rejection of the second year. When I was reading that part on Amazon, everyone, you can go on Amazon and read an excerpt from Rachel's book. But in that, I mean, it was, you described, you know, at 17 or 18, you know, getting that and then, you know, felt like your life was going to end, you know, and it's when you kind of sit back, I'm sure when you look back at that particular thing, it was, when you're in your teens and, you know, you have your life planned, you think you have your life course planned out before you, and all of a sudden you have this major, you know, fork in the road, then it does seem like, you know, things are, you know, life is over, you know, but in essence, you know, it really kind of just put you on a different path, but you ultimately get to where you want to go on your terms.
Exactly. That's the beauty of it.
Yeah.
Like I said, there's no coincidences. So, you know, for years I kind of lived in regret and, it's the shame and, you know, but now I don't feel any regret. You know, I feel like this is the path I was supposed to go on, and I'm so happy about where I am right now.
Yeah, I can understand that. You know, I'd like to take a few minutes, and one of the things you talk about in your book is that there are like three aspects to yourself. You call them the three P's. One of them is the perfectionist gremlin, the other the performer, and the professional. And so I'd like to take a little bit of time and kind of explore each of that, because I think those aspects that you discuss in your book are, we all, I think, have those aspects, you know, and I like the way that you identified them and identified some of the characteristics of each. So, and I think the listeners could get a lot from, you know, you kind of explaining that. So would you mind kind of let's talk first about a bit about the perfectionist gremlin. what exactly is that in your mind?
Sure. Well, first of all, a gremlin is really those tapes and those voices that we have inside of our head that are either trying to keep us small or that might sabotage us, or maybe they've served us in the past, but they're not serving us now. And for me specifically, one of my gremlins, and I'm sorry to tell you, but we all have numerous ones, is my perfectionist. And so, you know, at a very early age, because of family dynamics, because I moved a lot as a kid and had all kinds of life experiences, I got the notion in my head that in order to be accepted, I really needed to be quote-unquote perfect. And so if I could look perfect and get great grades and act perfect, then I would please everybody, and they wouldn't really know about my faults and flaws. And I thought that that was the way to go. So, you know, I let that voice and that aspect of myself take the driver's seat for quite a few years.
Yeah. Well, you know, and I believe we all have that, some to a greater degree than others. But, you know, when I was reading about you, you know, you seemed like you were all across the country as far as your living, you know, where you lived, you know, in before your teens. So, I mean, it was obviously you had that, the experience of having to make new friends and basically settle into new neighborhoods and all that kind of thing. And so I'm sure that there was that constant need to have to explain explain who you are and that kind of thing. So that obviously you had a lot of time, a lot of chances to be able to do that. And so when each of those times occurred, did you Did the perfectionist kind of rear its head? You know, that gremlin, was it easier to be able to, you know, since you're starting fresh in each new area, maybe to kind of identify, to start over, you know, to show that you were perfect, you know, as far as, I mean, because when you're in an area for a long time, our flaws, you know, tend to show themselves, you know, versus, you know, when you're kind of just more transient. Did that make sense?
Well, if I think I'm understanding your question. For me, it was really like needing to prove myself each time I was in a new place.
Okay.
even when I remember the first day of moving to California, the first day I went to school. It was just before my 12th birthday. They were playing softball, and I didn't know how to play softball, and I was a nervous wreck. Oh, my God, what am I going to do? I'm going up to bat now. And somehow, miraculously, on my first try, I hit a home run. And I was like, phew, oh, thank God, right?
That was fortunate. Yeah,
but it was fortunate, and it was a rare moment and opportunity because I don't think it happened again. But, yeah, you know, being in a new place, it was just very challenging. I didn't feel comfortable being able to ask for what I wanted or needed. When I lived in Oklahoma, they used to paddle the children. And I was petrified. I wouldn't even ask to go to the bathroom because I was so scared that I was going to get paddled. You know, so there was a lot of things going on where I just felt like the good girl is supposed to just be quiet and do what you're told, and that's what was expected, and that's what I did.
Yeah.
But
now,
at a price.
You know, I was going to say, you know, because the idea of, you know, that perfectionist perspective, you know, first of all, we're not perfect. No one is perfect. So, you know, to me, it would seem that it would be like a constant battle, you know, to prove something that in reality just doesn't exist. So, I mean, is that kind of one of the challenges of that perspective?
Exactly right. Really, perfectionism is a mask. It's not real, and it is a cover-up. And the cover-up is, you know, we have some sort of judgment, fear, insecurity, shame, and the misconception or the irrational belief is if I can cover that up and put on this mask, then you won't know what's going on beneath the surface. But it's not real, so this is to your point. There is no way to ask, you know, to ever achieve it. And what it does is it creates life and very much is black and white, and it creates a lot of fear. And it stops people, and it stopped me for many years, from making choices and trying new things because of the fear of failure. So, whereas if you think about it in life, right, like you can't experience true love unless you've had your heart broken. you know, so you need to be willing to take the risk and to be vulnerable in order to truly experience the juiciness of life. But as a perfectionist, you won't allow yourself to do that because it's too scary.
Yeah, yeah, I can see where that would be the case. Now, also, in addition to that that fear, comes along high expectations, I mean, of yourself and of others. So that, too, you know, I mean, first of all, you know, is when you kind of have that expectation of yourself. You know, you talked about the fear of failure, and so that kind of limits you. But also, you know, if you place those high expectations on others, that too, I would think, would, you know, play heavy into making challenging relationships, you know, because, you know, again, other people, you know, wouldn't be able to live up to a perfectionist kind of, you know, reality. So then I would think that that would also wreak havoc with any kind of relationships, friends or family.
Very true. Yeah, it creates a total disconnect from oneself because you can't live up to your own expectations, and then you beat yourself up about it, and you don't feel. And then what you wind up, the perfectionist winds up doing, is basing their self-worth on achievement. And if you're not constantly achieving, then you're not worthy as a human being. So it really builds total disconnection from oneself, and to your point, it builds then disconnection in relationships as well, because you're right. Yeah, there's no way nobody's perfect, and if that's your expectation, then you know the other person's going to be continually disappointing you, and it just creates a lot of disconnect all the way around.
Yeah. Now, in the title of the book, it's Lessons from a Recovering Perfectionist. Is this a lifelong process, recovery process?
Absolutely, yes. I wish I could tell you I found the magic pill, and I'd be a multimillionaire by now. But yeah, this is an ongoing journey, for sure.
Okay. Yeah, I thought that was the case, but I thought, well, maybe there's something there. But yeah, I think we all have a lot of. I mean, you know, part of the, you know, what you talked about, just, you know, the experiences, and that is the negative tapes. And I know for me, that is one of my ongoing recovery programs that is apparently going to be a lifelong effort. But that's, you know, hey, that's just, you know, those are the things that, you know, once you go through them and you recognize, you know, become aware of them and you battle them back, you know, those are the things I think that empower you to be able to help others do the same.
Absolutely. And it's really important to give voice these different aspects of ourselves. And really the ultimate goal is not about getting rid of them. They're there for a reason. So it's really about understanding them, what triggers them. And I like in my coaching practice, I look at coaching like you're going to the gym. On the one hand, you're getting more clarity about your higher self. So you're understanding, you know, when you are feeling grounded and when you are honoring your values and your strengths, who are you? And on the other hand, you also want to build the muscle of understanding these other aspects, your gremlins and the other voices that are there, because they're going to be there. So when they're activated, the more awareness we have around them as well as our higher self, then we can become what I like to call a third-party observer in our head and create a little bit of space, and not just go with the knee-jerk reaction and let the gremlin go in the driver's seat, and instead be able to make more of a conscious choice. And to your point about human beings and the negative tapes, there's research from neuro-linguistic programming that says that the average human being has 60,000 thoughts a day. 95% of those thoughts are the same thoughts you had yesterday, and 80% of those thoughts are negative.
Wow, that's pretty intense.
that's a real solid conditioning,
isn't that wild?
Exactly, and the real kicker is most of those thoughts are subconscious, so we're not even aware that we're having them. And, of course, our thoughts then drive our behaviors. So it's super important to give all of our these aspects of ourselves a voice so that we can really determine what makes sense in the moment that's going to best serve us and the people around us.
Yeah, I agree. And, you know, one of the when you were talking in your book about gremlins, you also indicated in addition to the perfectionist, there's the rebel. So you have a rebel gremlin as well?
Oh, yes, I do. I'm not going to lie. Yes,
I think we all have one.
I didn't get into too much detail in the book, but yeah, I do.
Okay. Now, is the rebel is that just the side of us that wants to kind of just break free from everything that is, you know, kind of been given to us and things that we just feel maybe just aren't right?
Well, I think it's unique for each person. I think for me personally, you know, being a perfectionist for so long, I at some point would resent it. You know, so I know I can't be perfect. Why do I have such high expectations? If I go into victim mode, I can think, why do these other people put such high expectations on me? And I really don't want to do that 24/7. So the sort of opposite extreme then is to go into rebellion instead of really getting clearer about who am I with my higher self, what are my wants, what are my needs, can I express those? You know, the other way to do it is just to zone out and to just say, well, screw this, right? And I'm just going to do what I want to do. And that, you know, can include, you know, engaging in not so healthy behaviors. So for me, I think it was really more about my rebellion towards being that perfectionist.
Okay. Now, as I mentioned, you indicated that there were three aspects, the three P's. One was the perfectionist, the other is the performer, and then the professional. So let's talk about the performer. What is the performer? What part of us is the performer?
Sure. And again, I think for each person, it's such a unique, each aspect is so unique for them. For me personally, the performer is really who I am. And when I am connected, as I mentioned before, to my higher self, when I'm feeling grounded, when I'm having intuitive hits and I'm listening to them, when I'm aware in the moment of what's going around me, or going on around me, when I can feel the energy in the room, when I'm fully self-expressing from a place of joy, all of that's happening for me when I'm in that performer aspect of myself. So it's not, you know, because some people might hear the word performer and think, oh, is that like also a mask? Is that being on stage? Is that for me, that's just one, you know, that's one venue for me to really allow my performer to shine is on stage. But it's not limited to being on a stage. It's when I'm present and really fully experiencing the joy and the good that's happening around me and creating space to have that awareness.
Yeah, it was. I mean, you used the word present, and as you were talking about it, to me that was the first thing that just popped into my head. It's just being present, being aware and being in tune and in sync with everything that's going on around us and within us too.
Exactly right. And not allowing the brain to dictate everything, because our brain is so loud. The truth is, though, our brain lies to us all the time. You know, we all have irrational beliefs, irrational thoughts, but because the brain is so loud, our instinct is just to listen to whatever the brain tells us. So, you know, being aware and present is also tapping into the body. You know, really noticing, oh, I just got triggered. I feel myself clenching. I'm holding my breath. You know, like what's happening with my body, what's happening with my spirit, with my emotions, and not just being, you know, fully brain-driven.
Really? I know. And I know quite a few people who right now their brains, the loudness of that chatter in the brain is really impacting their life in a negative way. I mean, truly, I know, gosh, a handful of people right now directly in my circle, my close circle, who are having like problems sleeping and just problems focusing, and it's all because that brain is shouting, it's kind of been really taking control of their life rather than, it's kind of like the brain rules everything rather than them kind of bringing in or reining in the brain.
Yeah, agreed. And if you even think of the word, we're human beings, right? We're not human doings or human thinking. We're human beings. So, yeah, that's part of the work I really enjoy doing with folks is helping them discover these other aspects of who they are and get clarity on their strengths, on their values, so that they can really have more choice and quiet that brain down a little bit so that they can find more joy in their life.
Yeah. Now, and the third P of those was the professional. And, when I looked at your description of, life experiences, how the professional experiences life, like wearing a mask, being polite and diplomatic, holding back. I mean, to me, that's, and I see that. I mean, I was in corporate America and in banking, and in restaurant industry for years. So, I mean, I have seen all kinds of masks, and it's interesting. It's kind of like in one way, there's a feeling that this is something that we need to do in order to kind of fit into whatever corporate culture or whatever kind of culture that we're, involved in. But then there's the other aspect that it really does, I think, prevent us from kind of just fully expressing ourselves.
Yeah, agreed. And I actually, since I've written the book, that aspect, I've shifted the name, and I am now calling the professional the pretender.
Oh, okay.
Yes. Because I was sitting, because of some people, they hear professional, oh, that sounds great, like what's wrong with being professional? Mm-hmm. But really, for me, it's that, exactly what you said, it's the mask. It's about being a pretender, and my focus is on pleasing others and trying to do what's politically correct. And believe me, sometimes that aspect serves me. Sometimes knowing what to say in the moment and keeping the peace can be very important, especially with the type of work that I do. But I know that it's a mask.
Yeah.
And I also know when it's time to stop trying to please the others and stop trying to avoid conflict. And instead, I'm going to be truthful and I'm going to share in a kind way, but I'm going to share what my needs are, what works for me, what doesn't work for me. I'll set boundaries. And that's really more when I'm in alignment with my performer. But if my pretender is in the lead, then it's all about trying to get others to give me that affirmation and that appreciation and trying to keep the peace instead of me being able to give that affirmation to myself and knowing, I'm doing the best I can, I'm being a good person, I don't need to get it from the outside.
Yeah, I agree. Great. Well, and I think that's a better descriptor of, of the types of the persona that we put forth, and we do it often, but it's a great descriptor. And then I think people can quickly identify and recognize, when, that pretender is there and alive. So
going to tell you that it actually came to me when I was listening to the radio and the Jackson Brown song came on, Pretender. And I was like, that's it. That's the P I was looking for. Thank you.
Jackson Brown, where were you when I was writing this book? Yeah.
Exactly.
Well, the one thing, you know, that music obviously plays a large part. You know, I mean, it was, you know, you're stepping into more, stepping into the music. You know, you've created a CD which has wonderful songs. What we're going to do is, first of all, we're going to take a quick 90-second break, and then when we return, we do have one clip from your CD, one music. So I want to go ahead and, you know, just talk a little bit about that before we play it, then play that clip, and then we're going to go ahead and continue talking about Stepping Into More. And I just want to let you know, for those of you who are listening, if you would like to call in and ask Rachel any questions, you can call in at 619-789-4359. And for those of you listening in the chat room, if you have any questions for Rachel, feel free to type them in there, and we'll be sure to pass them on. So everyone stay tuned. We're going to be right back in just about 90 seconds.
This is Robert Sharp from Bringing Inspiration to Earth. There are several ways for a win-win situation where you can support our work and you receive a quality product. You can purchase the book or ebook of Joy Potential or It's No Secret Spirituality Bites. Each book has helped readers shift their perspective away from negativity towards a happier, less stressful life. Or you can shop at our wellness store, where we offer essential oils, personal care, and wellness products. I am a very frugal shopper, and these are high-quality items I use that really contribute to my well-being. Or you can purchase our amazing nature photo greeting cards. These are great, all-occasion, unique 5x7 folding cards. They're my most popular nature photos, and everyone who has received one raves about the scene. All options are available at our website, www.biteradio.me, and I am very appreciative of your support of our efforts and the work of our special radio guests.
Okay, everyone, thank you for staying with us. And as I said in that little commercial there, I really do appreciate you supporting our guests. And by supporting our guest today, Rachel, you can go on and purchase her book, Stepping Into More, Lessons from a Recovering Perfectionist. And you can also buy her CD as well. And her CD is available on CD Baby. Okay, with that, we're back, Rachel.
Hi.
You're great. Okay. Well, we're going to go ahead, and I want to play a clip that's called Defying Gravity. So tell us a little bit about, you know, why you included that particular song in your... First of all, let's talk a little bit about your CD and kind of what kind of songs that you have on there. And then in particular, you know, why did you include Defying Gravity?
Awesome. So the CD is a companion to the book. During the book, I reference a lot of songs that held and still continue to hold great meaning and are inspiring for me. And I decided to create a book, and first the book, then the CD, and the third part of my project is to create a one-person show, which I'm in the midst of working on right now. So the CD really includes many inspirational and motivational type songs from different genres, whether they be musical theater or standards, and there's pop songs as well. Specifically, Defying Gravity was a really interesting story. I was definitely afraid of heights, and one of my best friends convinced me to go paragliding in La Jolla in San Diego. And I literally had an instructor who made me jump off a cliff and went paragliding, and I was petrified. And once I was up in the air, it was a really wonderful experience. And literally the next day, I went to see the musical Wicked which was actually my second time seeing it. And for those people that have seen the show, you'll recall that the main character is literally defying gravity just before intermission, and she's singing the song. She's up in the air, and tear ran down my face, and I was realized, hey, yesterday I defied gravity. And it just really held a lot of meaning for me. And I was working on a show at that time, and I wound up calling the show Defying Gravity. And at the very end of the show, showed the clip of me running off the cliff while I was singing the song.
Oh, how great. That's wonderful.
Yeah, it was a really wonderful moment.
Yeah. You know, and when those things happen that really kind of really touch your soul, you know, that it just makes you tear up, you know, as a just an automatic response. You know, those are the things that we really need to pay attention to, you know, and really make sure that we embrace those, you know, and create as many of those as we can.
Yeah, and that's about being in the moment, right? To recognize those types of, you know, meaningful experiences for ourselves, to put the dots together. You got to be present to what's going on.
Exactly. Okay, well, I'm going to go ahead and play that song right now, and then when we come back, we'll continue talking about your book and also about stepping into more. So, everyone, this is Defying Gravity.
Something has changed within me. Something is not the same. I'm through with playing by the rules of someone else's game. Too late for second guessing. Too late to go back to sleep. It's time to trust my instincts. Close my eyes and leap. It's time to try to find gravity. I think I'll try to find gravity. You can't pull me down. I'm through accepting limits, 'cause someone says they're so. Some things I cannot change, but till I try, too long I've been afraid of losing love. I guess I've lost. Well, if that love becomes a much too high a cost, I should have defied gravity. Kiss me goodbye. I'm defying gravity, and you can't pull me down. Crazy and true, the vision's hazy, but I swear someday I'll be up in the sky, defying gravity. I'm flying high, defying gravity. They'll never pull me down. Someone told me lately, everyone deserves a chance to fly. And if I'm flying solo, at least I'm flying free. To those who ground me, take a message back from me. Tell them how I defy gravity. I'm flying. No wizard that there is or was is ever.
that was Defying Gravity from our very special guest, Rachel Carew. Well, Rachel, boy, what a strong, wonderful voice you have.
Thank you.
Well, I mean, you know, as I was listening to that, I mean, it was like I could just see you on stage belting it out and just, you know, bringing down the house. Anyway, that was really, really good. I really enjoyed that. And it's such a wonderful message to give as well.
Thank you. Yeah, and actually, I think on my YouTube channel there is a video of me, if I'm not mistaken, singing it as well. Or you could go to my website. I have a media page with video clips of me singing as well.
Well, definitely, we're going to have to check that out for. And again, everyone, we have Rachel's website, which is raedevelopment.com, raedevelopment.com, in the show page description. So. Well, good. Well, anyway, that's wonderful. And again, your full CD or individual clips also are available at CD Baby. And people, you can just type in Rachel's name, and it brings them up. And you also can get a just click on a little arrow and listen to each of them before you purchase. And so, anyway, that's really great. Now, let's go and kind of move back to stepping into more. You know, this obviously. Overcoming your, you know, hesitation for singing and that kind of thing, you obviously overcame that. So, stepped into more. What do you think are some of the things that prevent some people, many people, from actually stepping into more, whatever their more is?
Great question. Really, as I was indicating before, it comes down to fear, it comes down to insecurity, judgments, shame, expectations. All of these get in the way of allowing ourselves to really connect to what it is that our heart desires and have the willingness to step into more.
Okay, yeah. Well,
all of those negative, you know, restrictive kinds of beliefs really do, I think, prevent people.
So how, if we have listeners out there who are kind of, have that, you know, that little inkling that there is more, you know, that they're not quite satisfied with what they are doing or having, and they know that there is more, but just aren't sure exactly how to identify. Now, I mean, for you, you know, the singing, you know, when I read about it, it was like that was something you did in your youth, you know, that was very kind of important to you then. So maybe tapping into that part was, or identifying that was, you know, I don't want to say easy, but I mean, it was there for you to be able to tap into. For other people out there who aren't really sure what their more is, do you have any ideas or suggestions for people to be able to help identify that for themselves?
Absolutely. A really good starting place is to ask yourself, if there was ever a passion or a hobby or an interest that you had years ago, maybe as a child or at some point in life, that you disconnected from. And that's a great way to start to remember, oh, wow, that was something I really enjoyed. And then you can then ask yourself, well, what got in the way of me doing that now? So that's a good stepping stone to kind of realize, okay, you know, what is something that I truly love? What does it bring me? And why did I stop? So that's a that's a good starting point.
Okay, good points with that. And now, one of the things in your book, you have at the end of each chapter, you have like a recap called Lessons Learned and a section called Deepen Your Learning. Can you maybe let the listeners know a little bit about, you know, what those particular sections are and what the why you even included them in the book?
Sure. So the book is really designed to be an autobiographical self-help book. And, you know, it's one thing for people to read about my experience and story, But as a coach, I very much want people to glean the lessons from my experiences and be able to relate them to their own lives and their own history. So I recap each of the chapters to summarize the chapter and to start to put some themes to the chapter. And then I ask some very personal, reflective questions for the reader at the end of each chapter as well, so that they can really think about how this resonates for them. How does this? What actions might they like to take as a result of reflecting on this? I'm a big believer in reflection, which is actually my company's name. RAY stands for that process of reflect, act, and excel. And like you mentioned earlier, unless you have awareness around things, you're not able to make change. So the awareness process begins through reflection. So those questions are really designed to help the reader reflect and hopefully move into action.
Great. Reflect, act, excel. I like that. So that was what RAY Development stands for. So, of course, if you go to raydevelopment.com, you'll see it's right there on the front page. But that's what it means. But now, as I was reading on Amazon, I noticed that there was one aspect that you talked about. I can't remember exactly if it was the purpose of the book or something that you gained. Anyway, the idea was is that you consciously chose a path of integration versus compartmentalization. Anyway, so that was something that just stuck. Yeah, it is. To me, that was something that was, I thought it was really interesting, because it seems that, you know, with your coaching business and with the creative aspect of, you know, a singer and then putting together now this one woman act, you know, that, you know, those are very distinctly different, reflections of yourself, you know. So, you know, so when I read about, you know, you consciously choosing a path of integration versus compartmentalization, what can you kind of talk a little bit about that? And because I think some of us out there could use a little bit more integration.
For sure. Yeah, so when I was in the corporate world, I felt very compartmentalized, and meaning that, you know, when I was at work, I was that professional, right, that professional worker. And then when I was home, I was mom, I was wife, I was daughter, I was friend. I didn't feel very integrated. And so one of the joys of really having greater awareness around my strengths and around my passions and my values is that I realize that I feel much more energized and joyful when I'm able to integrate more of who I am into various life domains. So with my creativity, I actually never thought that I would integrate it into my professional world. I was a speaker at a CEO association, and being a new speaker, I was given some feedback during one of my first engagements where they asked, they knew I sang, so they asked me at the very end if I could sing something. And I just sang something very brief, and they sent me feedback on an MP3, and almost half the members said, "Wow, you really should incorporate your singing into your presentation." And that's what really sparked that idea for me. But ironically, it's funny because with all the different people that I've worked with and with this approach, the CEOs, and don't particularly like that approach, but they gave me the initial idea. And the reason they don't like it is because part of the reason that I enjoy integrating is because when I'm singing in that arena, I'm modeling the idea of the power of vulnerability. Think about it. Most of us think when we're being vulnerable, it's a weakness. And I assert that when we're being authentic, when we're connected to our performer, whatever that is for you, your higher self, and you're willing to show the good, the bad, and the not so pretty, that instead of building walls and disconnecting, like we talked about earlier, as a perfectionist – when I'm willing to be vulnerable and to show some of those flaws and some of the challenges, it actually draws people in because it's real. And people can see, whoa, okay, she's being authentic here. Wow, she's really taking a chance here. She's really expressing from her heart, and she's willing to do that in front of me. And with the right audience, that really creates that sense of safety and a sense of that it's okay to be yourself. And so that's a big reason why I enjoy bringing that creative element into my professional work and really letting people see my true self and inviting them to do the same, because I think it's hugely powerful.
Yeah, I agree. And what, you know, you were talking about that third element, you know, of doing that one woman show. I had a guest on my show. Her name was Amy Ostreicher, and Amy just finished last year a one woman show and musical, actually, off Broadway. You know, it was part of some kind of event where they had, you know, all kinds of like 50 different types of artists, you know, with off-Broadway. Anyway, I'm going to send you a link to her website because, you know, she would be a great resource, you know, to do that, you know, for her, it was, she was a woman who really came through had a really rough physical challenges, and then to be able to, you know, come back and be off Broadway and then have this one woman musical, to her was just so freeing, you know. And so anyway, I'm going to go ahead and send that to you. You never know, she might be able to give you some ideas as to what she did as well. So I just
thank you.
It just kind of crossed my mind.
Yeah, I would love to meet
sure.
her.
Great. Now, with your personal and professional development coach aspect of your business, how do you fit your creative work into the corporate? So, I mean, you've got those two different aspects. How do you do that?
Yeah, so depending on the engagement, sometimes I'll integrate snippets of songs that tie into the topic. So, for example, I have a workshop on being self-resilient, and I've created an assessment that looks at 8 facets of resilience, one of which is self-esteem. And instead of me just reading a definition of what self-esteem means, I'll actually sing part of Defying Gravity. There you go. So I'll integrate parts of songs that tie into the topic. Sometimes I'll also sing at a break a song that fits in with the theme of the topic of the session. And then I've also had sessions where I sort of have a hybrid where I'll do a 20-minute performance, really sharing my story through song. So it's a lot of what's in the book, Stepping Into More, Lessons from a Recovering Perfectionist. And then I'll facilitate a workshop to help people do exactly what you were asking me before, just think about a passion, a hobby, an interest they've disconnected from, talk about how fear might have gotten in the way for them, and then have them work out a plan to start to begin that journey of stepping into more around that particular area in their life.
Yeah. Okay. Well, you know, I have never been to a workshop that had that kind of creativity. And it's, you know, if I were in attendance in that, it would be like so noticeable and so outstanding that, you know, I would have no choice but to take notice, you know, and to be able to think, oh, my God, you know, this is something different. You know, this is something that I can a great way to kind of maybe emulate or kind of, you know, modify it into my particular types of work, whatever that might be.
Yeah, exactly. And actually, I'm working on a new idea right now, taking that the next step farther, where I'm going to at some point be creating a weekend workshop where people come in who have identified a passion they've disconnected from. So maybe it's writing, maybe it's dance, it could be singing, whatever it is. And we'll go through experiential exercises to help identify, first of all, what's the meaning and joy and value in these things you've disconnected from. And then on the other hand, what's the fear, what gets in the way? And then it'll culminate actually in a performance where participants will invite their friends and family and really have the opportunity to step into more.
Wow, that sounds like fun. That sounds like a great kind of experiential kind of workshop. So anyway, boy, our time is just about done, Rachel. This has really been great. Now, if there was maybe one piece of advice that you may want to go ahead and give our listeners to step into more, what might that be?
Great question. Life is short. Life is precious and fleeting, and it's easy to get caught up in the one day, Sunday, coulda, woulda, shoulda. I really invite your listeners to give themselves the freedom and the permission to reconnect to those important aspects of who they are and listen to that inner knowing voice and give themselves the opportunity to live a full, joyful life by stepping into more.
Yeah. That, very good advice. And, you know, it's one of those things, don't wait till you have the car accident or some other kind of major, you know, trauma that kind of gets you shifting to thinking more like that. But do it, be proactive, and do it ahead of that. So.
Agreed.
Maybe even avoid that. So now people can get your book and CD from Amazon and CD Baby. Anywhere else that they can get them?
Yeah, I'm also on Spotify and Pandora, all the regular. Oh, iTunes. Yeah, you can find me pretty much anywhere.
Great. That's good. That's good. And then if they want to contact you about your workshops or even in your practice as a coach, they can contact you through your website?
Absolutely. And for anyone that might be interested in coaching, I'm happy to offer a 30-minute complimentary session by phone. So if this has piqued your interest and you'd like to learn more, please, I invite you to reach out, and I would be delighted to meet you and to discuss how I might be able to support you with that.
Oh, that's great. And for those of you listening, let Rachel know that you heard her here so that she knows exactly kind of where you came from. And also you are on Facebook, right? So we're connected on Facebook, so people who are on that platform can join you as well.
Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, and again, it's Rachel, R-A-C-H-E-L, and the last name is Karu, K-A-R-U.
Great. Well, Rachel, thank you for your time today. I really enjoyed our chat and look forward to, you know, following your journey through our social media connection and look forward to seeing what that one woman show looks like.
Well, thank you. It's such a pleasure getting to meet you, and I really appreciate the opportunity to share my message.
It is my pleasure. Again, everyone, today my very special guest has been Rachel Karu, and we have been speaking about her book, Stepping Into More, Lessons from a Recovering Perfectionist. And again, you can find out more about by visiting her website, which is raedevelopment.com, and that's R-A-E development.com. And I do have a direct link to her website in the show page description. So everyone, I want to thank you for joining us for this edition of the Bringing Inspiration to Earth show. And until we meet again, thank you for tuning in. You've been listening to the Bringing Inspiration to Earth show. Be sure to visit our website at www.biteradio.me. That's BiteRadio.me. You can also find us on Facebook and Twitter at BiteRadioMe. And our shows are also available as a free podcast from iTunes. And until we meet again, remember to be a bright light by bringing inspiration to your world
and to the lives of those you touch.